Welcome to the Mystic Access Podcast, where the magic is in learning.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the March 19th episode of the Mystic Access Podcast. She's Kim.
He's Chris.
And we have some follow-ups from previous episodes to talk about. But the first thing we're going to talk about is our March event.
Yes, we are super excited about it. And I bet a lot of you thought, there's not going to be a March event. They're not going to do it. Yes, we are going to do it. We apologize that it's taken us this long to announce it, but it is going to happen. It's going to be March 28th. So you still have 9 days, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, to go ahead and sign up. But you've still got well over a week if it's something that you want to come and hang out with us.
We'll make the URL pretty easy. It's going to be mysticaccess.com/computers, plural.
Yes. So as with our previous classes, you will need to register to come to this one just because of our unfortunate event a few years ago. So we're apologizing that we have to put these kind of things in place, but we don't want those interruptions and neither do you. So hopefully you'll understand. But we think it's going to be a cool class for a specific segment of you who kind of want to educate yourself more on the subject matter. I guess that's what all classes are for, but this one's really important, especially if you're someone who came to our scam classes or purchased our Safe from Scams audio and were thinking, you know, maybe I need to know more about how my computer works or what makes it tick or how I can kind of be forewarned about some of this stuff in advance. We're going to talk about essentially the makeup of your computer. What are all these things you hear about, like storage and RAM and all these pieces that you hear about when you're purchasing a computer, all the features and specs?
Do you really need the most powerful computer on the planet? That kind of thing. So it's just something to keep in mind. So that's kind of what we're going to attempt to tackle.
Yes. We're just going to talk about the various parts and what you might want to look for when purchasing a new computer. We know that really computers can be a needed thing any time of year. And you may be thinking, well, I've had my computer for 5 or 6 years and it's pretty slow. I wonder if I should get a new one. We'll touch a bit on that and what things you might want to look for. So hopefully a lot of you will find this interesting. If not for yourself, maybe this is a good one to tell your friends about and let them know, hey, you know, if you've been to our classes before, you know that we try and put everything in real layman's terms so that things make sense and explain them in such a way where you kind of know what to look for. I know back in the day, I didn't really know what a lot of this stuff meant, and it's good to learn. You don't have to be a geek to purchase a computer. So we want to talk about just some things that, particularly as screen reader users, you might want to pay attention to.
Exactly.
So we'd love for you to join us. And what's that URL again?
MysticAccess.com/computers.
Computers. And again, for those of you who haven't had to register for a class from us before, you can just go there and put in your name, your email address, and the answer to a really easy question. We promise we'll make it easy. And that will allow you to register for free for our March class. And again, if you can't come live, it will be recorded and it will be up on MysticAccessDownloads.com later on. I will be sending out a newsletter about this. You've probably gotten it already. So those people are often the first to find out about our events. So if you want to join our events mailing list, you certainly may do so. And that'll give you first come, first serve to our events. So we hope that you'll enjoy it. We're really looking forward to getting to hang out with y'all. And it'll be fun.
So now let's talk a little bit about our 22. Remember, in the one episode, I said 22. And that's the number that you have to remember.
Yep, 22 is the magic number. And we didn't tell you why. And maybe some of you have wondered, what the heck does 22 mean? Well, we made a big purchase. And in this instance, I'm not talking about big bucks. We did not spend big bucks on this big purchase. But it nevertheless is a big purchase because of the number 22.
Right. So, you know, those of you that have been following the last few episodes, you know that we got Spectrum and a Zumo box and all that other stuff. So we won't rehash that.
Nope.
But that's the reason why we ran out of outlets in our entertainment center, TV, stereo, and these little boxes that you get, the Fire TV, the Roku box, those kinds of things. Each one of those things takes up a plug. So I went online and was looking for something to kind of up the number of outlets.
We found we had 8 or something back there.
8 or 10 at the most. Yeah. And so I found this thing called Super Danny, S-U-P-E-R-D-A-N-N-Y.
Yep, that's the brand.
Right. and it had 22 outlets. Now, you're not going to plug in 22 space heaters.
Please don't. That's right. How you short your space heaters out and ruin your surge protector all at the same time.
Right.
It doesn't have that many joules.
Right.
And the joule is essentially the thing that will protect you.
Right. I think it has 1850 joules, something like that. It's meant for little things like your TV and your Roku boxes and the stereo and stuff like that. So it's meant for those kinds of things. It also has 6 USB ports on it.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's, if I recall, and it's behind the TV, so I can't look. But if I recall, it's a big rectangle, and it's got some plugs kind of in the middle, but it's also got some on the side.
Right.
So you can really put your big bricks, things like that, on the sides so that it makes it easier to find places for those.
And the little ones in the center.
Mm-hmm. Now, it is large, but it's skinny. So you will be able to find, hopefully, a nice compact place to put this little guy. And I say little guy only because it's skinny, because there is a lot of it. There has to be a lot of it to be able to put 22 things on it. You could certainly plug your laptop into it. You could plug your Braille display into it. I mean, there's no issues with things like that, but you don't want to get all happy and decide to plug in the microwave.
That'd go over real well.
That's not its goal. I mean, you don't want to put in 3 microwaves, you know, or anything silly like that. If you do want to put in something large, make your large ones very minimal, okay? Because that's how you're going to blow it up.
I wouldn't even use large things on it, frankly. I wouldn't plug in a vacuum into it.
Nope.
I wouldn't plug in a microwave into it. I would still keep it for what it's useful for, our little electronics.
So what did you do with our TV plug? Is it in it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So a TV works.
No, absolutely. That's what they say. You can use your TV with it. You can use your VCR with it if you have one of those still. You can have your boxes and stuff like that, little plugs. I bought something that we'll talk about a little bit later that I actually plugged into it as well. So, but again, it's a low powered device.
So Super Danny, and you can get a fairly good deal on it. I think we got a coupon. We don't know what the price is currently, but you're looking at $30-$35.
So 49. I think it was 49.
Oh, was it 49? And we just saved like half off or something?
Yes.
I think we got it for like 25.
We did.
So, okay. You can still get it for under $50. And it's the type of thing that you're going to have for a significant amount of time. It's rated very well. I had a Belkin that I got one time. I thought I was the queen at that time because it had like, I don't know, 8 or maybe 12 plugs and like 2 USB ports or something. I've had it for years and it still works. And I've probably had it 10 years and it still works. But this is the type of device that you might want to update from time to time because they get better, they get more energy efficient, and we just continue to use more and more devices. So it kind of pays to update them maybe every 10 years or so and get you a new one or two.
Right. They say you're supposed to. I think I read it online years ago that you're really supposed to replace these every so often.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know none of us do, but it's probably a good idea. And in our instance, we really did need more plugs than we had back there. So if this is you, if you're in need of something like that, this is something to consider. And the plug that goes into the wall isn't obnoxiously large, so you don't have to worry about that. And it doesn't take up your whole outlet back there either, which is really nice.
It's got like a 45-degree angle on it, which is kind of an interesting concept, so that you can have one of your outlets free, the other outlet that's in your wall free.
Oh, and don't decide to plug 2 of these into one outlet.
Right.
That's another good way to blow things up. So hopefully this will be as useful to you as it's proving to be for us. And like I said, the reviews are really good, even though none of us have ever heard of this brand.
So it's called Super Danny. And just if anybody was looking for ways to increase your outlet storage or outlets usage, you have another option.
We will make sure to link it for you guys. And again, if you purchase through our link in the show notes on mysticaccesspodcast.com, then we will earn a small commission. And we appreciate it.
So we also talked in the past about our eBay issue with the Braille display.
Yep. We told you that we thought everything was handled and that we were going to get refunded. Well, there's a bit more to tell you about this story. It does end happily, but there's one more little twist to share.
So the Braille display was delivered on the 24th of February back to the original seller. And I thought that I would get a refund within 2 days. That's what the eBay rep told me. So we're waiting for the refund. We're waiting for the email. We're doing all this other stuff. Finally, on, I want to say, March 5th, I decided to call them because I wanted to know what's going on. So I called eBay and they said to me, well, we give them 2 business days to refund you after, of course, the products have been delivered. You know, you have to send them a tracking number, which I did, but they gave me the tracking number. eBay actually gave me the label that I printed out. And so they were supposed to, meaning the seller was supposed to refund me 2 days after he got it back, 2 business days. He did not.
You had thought that eBay was going to refund you, not the seller. You thought that eBay was going to pull it out of your account, because what eBay does now, for those of you who haven't purchased in a while or maybe don't know how this works, back in the day, once you made that offer, it was kind of your word of honor that you were then going to go ahead and pay it. So you were going to manually make a payment if your offer was accepted. And that's what we did for this. We made an offer on it because we thought we could bring them down just a smidge and get free shipping essentially out of the deal. Take that much off the asking price, the listing price. So back in the day, you had to then pay for it yourself. It was a manual thing and you did it within, I think, 3 business days. You had to pay for it. Well, I guess a lot of eBay sellers lost a lot of money this way because people would get their offer accepted and then go, wait, I don't want this, and just not do it. So of course that was bad marks for the buyers, but nevertheless, they didn't want it. They didn't pay for it. The seller's out, and now they're going to have to relist. Now, what happens is, at least if you pay by PayPal, the money is just taken. So whatever your default payment method is on your eBay account, they will take from that method. So you didn't have to do anything, did you, when you went ahead and our offer was accepted?
No, it was accepted. He got his money. He sent it out. I didn't like it. I returned it. And the rest was history. So when I was on the phone with eBay on the 5th, she goes, well, they're supposed to give you the 2 business days. So they're supposed to have that refund by the 2 business days after it is returned. And now, again, this person had no returns accepted, but eBay overrode it because of the case that we had. So then when I called eBay back, they said, well, we'll take care of it. Boom. Done.
So the guy never refunded it. He had not initiated any kind of refund. He got it back and he must have been thinking, well, I'm going to show them. I'm just never going to give this guy his money back.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking, but I mean, obviously he was well past the 2 business days. It was, you know, it was probably about 7 business days when all was said and done. So
but we got our money back. He probably wasn't happy about it, but we got our money back. So it's just, again, caution. Caution, caution. When you are looking at things like this, be aware of what you're buying. And if you feel like something's off or if there are no returns, think twice. And even if a person, such as in this instance, had perfect, stellar feedback, go through and read the feedback. Because one of the things that I did after the fact, which I should have done before, was actually read some of the feedback. Because in this guy's case, one person had rated him positively and then responded to their own feedback and said, this actually ended up being broken, and the seller wasn't cooperative with me in helping me to return it or make it right in any way, shape, or form, and I would never recommend this person. So sometimes, just because something looks really good on the surface, both in terms of this Braille display and the seller feedback, it's not. So you want to do your due diligence, because you could end up in a situation like ours that took weeks to resolve.
Exactly, and we're finally glad that it's resolved, and we can move on.
Woohoo! So, yes, absolutely.
So we're going to move on.
We are going to move on, and we're going to talk about something else that we wanted to follow up on, which is our little segment last time on the Google doorbell. And I know I had mentioned right at the end of that to stay tuned to find out what we were going to do. It may not be what you expected.
Right. So there's a lot to talk about this Google doorbell.
There's a lot to love about it, actually.
Yes, there is. And I think we mentioned previously that it was nice and thin, so it would have actually went exactly where my original wired doorbell was.
There was one problem with where your original wired doorbell was.
It was behind the door.
It was behind the door, behind the hinge.
Right. So you'd have to make sure that that door could open with that doorbell being there, but that's beside the point. So we were looking at the different features of the doorbell. Now, one of the things that we have is the Ring ecosystem with the cameras and the doorbells, and the front doorbell is practically dead. So we had to decide, do we want Google doorbell or do we want another Ring doorbell? We were playing with the Google doorbell inside the house. It was plugged in, which was kind of fun. Every time you walk into the living room, you know, you could you get a notification and stuff like that. So we were playing with that. And we decided that one of the features in the ring system that we really liked was the ability for ALEXA to announce events. Someone is detected at your front door. Someone is detected at your back door. Someone was detected at your backyard. You can kind of follow people. So we had to decide, okay, is this facial thing worth those announcements? We decided it wasn't worth those announcements.
Now, there is a skill that we tried that worked with ALEXA, so an ALEXA skill, that you could link your doorbell, your Google doorbell, and it would tell you someone is detected. It did not work with motion. It did not use the facial recognition, and it just wasn't enough of what we wanted, especially since I don't think the facial recognition worked via that skill. Even at the door press, facial recognition didn't work. Chris and I were kind of talking about this in post-production. So that's the reason that skill wasn't an option for those of you who know about that and are saying, but you could do this. Well, we tried that and it still really didn't meet our needs.
So we got a new ring and we sent the Google doorbell back. So what we're saying is the Google doorbell was very good. The only time it announced something was when somebody pressed the doorbell. I think we were looking for a little bit more. We were looking for more of the creeping around your house type of announcements.
And it's not even necessarily that you need them. It's just what we got used to. Because right. They were showing up on our phones. But here's the thing. We're both working. We don't have time to open our phones all during the day. I know a lot of times I'll keep mine on Do Not Disturb because I'm often writing or editing or recording or doing audio editing or something where I have no business with my phone in my hand. My right. phone really needs to be far, far away from me, or I'm going to be checking my email or scrolling around on Facebook or doing something else I have no business doing while I'm trying to work. So I personally choose that method to keep myself from doing those things because I don't want it near me. And as a result, I don't see a lot of those notifications that come in. So the only way I had to know is if kind of in the background I hear motion detected at your front yard, your backyard, wherever.
Right. The Google camera doorbell was pretty cool in the fact that it would tell you when a package has left the zone, when a package was seen in the zone. So you got those notifications, but again, you got them on your phone. And again, I'm like, okay, well, they're not even different sounds. They don't even make different sounds. They're your iOS and Android ringtone sound, your default sound. So, okay. So, you know, was it a news alert? Was it a weather alert? Was it a somebody just stole my package alert? You know, you'd have to check your phone every single time you got an alert to find out all that information. So we had decided to send the doorbell back. As we said, there's more to this doorbell story. So we sent the Google doorbell back and we got the quote latest Ring bell and we had that installed.
And when we say latest Ring bell, it wasn't even out. It was pre-ordered. We pre-ordered it and it came out. Now, while we're talking about doorbells, we might as well talk a little about this. What do we like the most about the new Ring?
It's got head-to-toe footage.
That's not my favorite thing about it. But
what's your favorite thing?
The sound. It sounds a million times better.
Oh, yes. The two-way talk. Absolutely. That's another thing about the Google doorbell. The two-way talk sound between you and the person is simply amazing. It sounds like you are outside with them.
Or if they're talking and they're on your mic, let's say they're very, very clear.
Yes.
And they want to say something, then they are very, very clear. So the mics on the Google are fantastic. I don't know if this Ring, and which Ring is this?
This is the Ring Battery Pro doorbell. That's what it's called.
I don't know if this is quite to the level of the Google, but it's awfully darn close. It's very, very good. And that's one of the things that I've had an issue with since I've been here. So almost 3 years about our Ring. The audio
was horrible.
And
that was the Ring Video doorbell too, which has been on that wall for 7 years or so. So, you know.
One thing that we've done recently is acquire a Google camera for our yard to supplement our Ring. More on that later. But it's important to know that for what I'm about to say. In post-production, we've been playing a lot and experimenting between the sound of the Google camera and the new Ring doorbell. And we have discovered, interestingly, that we now feel that the Ring is superior to the Google. Now, that being said, our Google camera is outside. It's out in the elements. And we need to get it covered. We did buy a little cover for it, and we need to snap that on and get that fixed properly. So that's something we're going to do in the next couple of days, and maybe that will change. Like the wind, for instance, how much the wind blows into the camera. We really wish it wasn't as bad as it is. But If he's outside and I'm doing two-way talk from inside, I am barely audible. I am really very soft. He's quite good, but I am barely audible. The ring manages the audio better. The sound is very good, either me or him, if I'm in and he's out. So the sound is much better. We tested them both in the rain, and you could hear every pitter-patter on the ring doorbell camera versus the actual camera that was out in the rain. So, and that was the Google one. So, you know, it just depends, and your experiences may be different in terms of what you find, but just from our experience, we now believe that the new Ring is superior audio-wise. And we're actually very, very happy, so much to the point where we're considering changing our garage camera out and getting another Ring for back there, a new Ring versus the old Ring that's been up there forever. So just that update on sound quality.
But my favorite feature of the Ring is the head to toe. So instead of seeing half of the person, you allegedly can see all of the person. I can't see anything, but having the footage there and knowing it's the whole person is ultimately a good thing.
And for what it's worth, Google does have the head-to-toe camera detection as well.
Yes.
At least the one that we tried. The other nice thing about the new Ring is the speed. So fast. So much faster between the time someone's caught and the time we get those notifications and or A-Lady notifications. So it depends on what it is and how you've got that set up. Much, much faster. So between the two, even though they're in different ecosystems, and that was one of my great fears is having two cameras from two different ecosystems. Even so, it's all very fast. It works pretty seamlessly. Now, if you had to give police footage for any reason, hope you don't, but if you do, you would need to get the footage from both cameras, so from your Ring and your Google. But as far as them working together, they're not in the same ecosystem, but they both do their jobs and you get the notifications from both. So you don't have to worry about that aspect. But both the Google camera that we have in our front yard and our new Ring doorbell are very fast. The new Ring is significantly faster than the old Ring in terms of getting us those notifications. What's another cool feature of the Ring?
It also has radar for motion, and it has a bird's eye view of how the person got to where they got to. So if you need that footage, it's there, which is cool. So
now, this is where Google kind of has a disadvantage, at least for us. With Google, if you were going to do a two-way talk with Google, and you can do that with your Google devices, it must be a screened device. So what are we talking about when we talk about a screened device?
A device that has a screen. They're called Nest Hubs.
So you'd need a Google Nest Hub.
Yes.
It can't just be your little Google Round speaker.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it has to have a video component to it so that you can see it.
Doesn't matter if you can't see it.
But as I said, there's more to this story that we will get into in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, we don't want to give you all our experiences all at once, but we'll get there if you're interested. What we basically wanted to do here, though, was talk about the new stuff, including the experiment with the Google doorbell, which, as you saw, if you listened to the last episode, was very easy to set up in terms of how it guided you through. We didn't actually put it on the outside of the house, but we were able to play with it, and we definitely would recommend it. But it's going to depend on what you're used to.
Yes, and I think it's all in what you're used to.
In what you're used to, and I think it's all in what you have the ability to look at any given time. One thing, for instance, that we kind of had a problem with, or at least I did, I think you did, was the two-way talk. Finding the two-way talk if somebody's at your door took like 4 or 5 double taps to get there in many instances. And that just isn't workable. They're going to turn around and leave.
Well, that is with the Ring too. Your best bet, at least that I've noticed and used, if you have an Echo Dot, if you have a Big Echo, any kind of Echo device, I would personally use that because you can say, a friend, answer the blah, 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 whatever. And then it'll open a two-way talk session with that doorbell, and that is going to be much faster than grabbing your phone and tapping on the notification and then finding the two-way talk, because it's really just as hard on the Ring as it would be on the Google. The Google was more labeled better.
Oh, yeah, by far.
But the Ring was not. And with the Ring, when you did it from the notification, you had to turn on both the audio and the microphone, which was kind of an interesting thing. You couldn't just two-way talk, hit the two-way talk button, and you're talking to the person. You had to find both buttons on the screen and activate them. One thing I did notice, though, about the ring, if you go into the camera in the app, and then you go into accessories, there's also, I didn't look at it, but there is an intercom kit for the ring stuff. So I'm not sure what that involves. It might just be an Echo of some stripe.
Probably.
Then they call it a ring intercom kit to make it sound fancy. Yeah. So, but that was also there. Solar panels are also there. Solar panels are there for both. You know, it's not like one's better than the other in some of these instances.
We've been talking about being able to see stuff outside your house. But speaking of things you can see outside your house, what's another thing that you probably want to know if you can see outside your house every day? And I don't mean see in the visual sense. I mean, you want to know what's going on. What am I talking about?
Weather.
Weather, exactly. And what have you just found recently?
I found a weather program, thanks to Brian Hartgen on Mastodon. I noticed it in his list, and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. It's in public beta.
So this is a Windows program?
It is. We've also, in the past, have talked about iOS programs and have totally forgotten about anything remotely cool for Windows.
Okay, so before we start, I have to ask the obvious question that some people are asking right now. Is there a Mac version?
I don't know. The reason I don't know is that if you download this, there's no real contact information on where to find the author even to leave feedback. So you really have to know who it is in order to send feedback.
So do we know who this creator is?
We do. And I'll have to find it. Brian also sent it to me, at least his Mastodon address. He created another app recently called Blind Toolbox something or other. It's basically an invisible task manager, which is kind of cool, actually. It's got hotkeys that you can use to find out your CPU. It's really geeky, but you can actually go through your list of running tasks and end the task without even loading task manager, which is kind of cool. So we can put the handle in the show notes, or if you decide to play with this program, there's eventually going to have to be a way to contact the developer for suggestions. I know there's a check for updates that seems to work. But other than that, it's really cool. It's a beta product. And we just got a notification, which I silenced, but there is a small craft advisory in Honolulu, Hawaii. And you're like, okay, why do I care about that? Because we wanted something different than Buffalo. And we wanted something different that was going to give us weather notifications, which is really kind of cool. That's one of the things this does, is it does weather notifications and things like that, as well as being accessible.
Yeah, and it's a pretty simple interface, but yet, because it does include first letter navigation, you can move through it very quickly once you kind of learn what's there.
You can. So I have it running.
Title is Weather Monitor 0.35, Build 21.
It's called
Weather Monitor.
Weather Monitor. And when you download it, you don't install it. You unzip it to its own folder, and then you run it. You know, it's kind of a portable application. And what I did for myself was put a shortcut, right-click the EXE, send to, and then shortcut to desktop. And now I have the app on my desktop. So let me actually close this real quick. So I'm going to do Alt+F4.
Exiting.
So it is exiting. I'm going to go to my desktop.
Folder view list view, weather monitor shortcut, folder view list view, weather monitor shortcut, 68 of 68.
There's the shortcut that I created. I'm going to press enter to open it.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.35, build 21, weather monitor 0.35, build 21, areas list box, areas, 1 of 2, Waimanalo Beach, Hawaii, United States of America, small craft advisory, view the forecast for more, Buffalo, overcast, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 of 2.
So here's what happened. It loaded, it told me about the small craft advisory in Hawaii, and then it said Buffalo and the current temperature because I'm focused on Buffalo. So I'm in what they call the areas list. So if I down arrow.
Waimanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 of 2.
Boy, I wish I was there. So I'm going to go up again.
Buffalo, overcast, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 of 2.
Now I'm going to tab.
Weather monitor 0.35, build 21, weather for Buffalo, New York, United States of America list box, last updated, 20240315, 10 o'clock, 1 of 17.
So you have 17 items to go through. If I hit the down arrow.
Overcast, 2 of 17. Temperature, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 of 17. Feels like, 37 degrees Fahrenheit, 4 of 17. Humidity, 85%, 5 of 17. Wind, N at 10.5 miles per hour, 16.9 kilometers per hour, with gusts of 11.1 miles per hour, 17.8, pressure, 29.91, UV index, 2,
so 8 of 7. If I want to go back to humidity, because I'm curious, I can hit H.
H, humidity, 85%, 5 of 17.
So it took us up to humidity. If I tab once.
Read-only edit, humidity, 85%.
I'm in a read-only edit box. Now I can use arrow keys.
UMIDITY colon space 85% blank.
So that tells us that. Now, if I tab again.
Areas list box. Buffalo. Overcast. 42 degrees.
I'm back to areas and I just hit control to silent speech. I tab again.
Weather for Buffalo, New York, United States of America list box. Humidity, 85%. 5
what
of 17.
What happens if you hit F?
F. Feels like 37 degrees Fahrenheit. 4 of 17. F.
What are you looking for?
Forecast.
Okay. So let's do this.
Areas list box. Buffalo. Overcast. 42 degrees Fahrenheit. 1 of 2.
I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Forecast. Forecast. Forecast list box. Today. 1 of 218.
There's 218 things in this forecast right now.
Oh my goodness. I'm really glad we have first letter nav, y'all.
On a down arrow.
Patchy rain nearby. 2 of 218.
That's cool.
High of 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Low of 39 degrees Fahrenheit. 3 of 218. Average of 43 degrees Fahrenheit. 4 of 218. Chance of rain. 89%. 5 of 218. Winds. 9.6 miles per hour. 15.5 kilometers per hour. 6 of 218. Visibility. 5 miles 9 kilometers. 7 of 218. Precipitation. 0.03 inches. 0.76 millimeters.
If you read the README or the change log, let's say I don't care about today's date. I can hit the period key.
Period. Dot, dot, dot. 16 of 218.
Now I'm going to go down.
Tomorrow. 17 of 218. Patchy rain nearby. 18 of 218. High of 48 degrees Fahrenheit. Low of 34 degrees Fahrenheit. 19 of 218. Average of 42 degrees Fahrenheit. 20 of 218.
And I'm going to hit the period again.
Period. Dot, dot, dot. 32 of 218. Sunday, March 17th.
Arrow.
33 of 218. Patchy rain nearby, 34 of 218.
I'm not sure why it's doing patchy rain nearby.
High of 42 degrees Fahrenheit.
Especially since it's supposed to snow on Sunday.
Right. So we're going to hit period again.
Period. Dot, dot, dot. 48 of Monday, March 18th. 49 of 218. Moderate or heavy snow showers. 50 of 218.
That's better.
That's what I was kind of expecting.
Right.
Average of 32 degrees Fahrenheit. 52 of 218. Winds, 14.3 miles per
hour. So now if I tab off of this ginormous list.
For read-only edit, winds, 14.3 miles per hour, 23 kilometers per hour. Winds, 14.3 miles.
So that's our winds. Now I'm going to tab.
Copy forecast button.
I can copy the forecast.
Space.
Which I just did.
Close button.
And I'm going to hit close.
Space. Weather monitor 0.35. Build 21. Areas list box. Buffalo. Overcast. 42 degrees.
So I just hit control to silence speech. Now I'm going to run notepad.
Search box edit, N-T-E-D, enter, notepad, system.
And I'm going to paste.
Pasted from clipboard.
Go to the top.
Top of file, today. Patchy rain nearby. High of 45 degrees Fahrenheit, low of average of 43 degrees Fahrenheit.
So if you wanted to send the forecast to somebody, or you just wanted to review the whole forecast yourself. Or
without hearing how, 1 of 250, 2 of 250.
Right. Well, that's kind of in the noise. Okay, so I'm going to go back to weather monitor.
Weather monitor 0.35, build 21.
And I'm going to hit the Alt key to go to the menu.
Menu bar, application.
Now I'm going to go to the right.
City.
Go to the right again.
Settings.
Go to the right again.
System.
Go to the right again.
Application.
And we're back to application. Now, I'm going to go to settings.
City, settings.
And I'm going to down arrow.
Settings menu, toggle temperature display unit control plus 1.
I like this. Now.
Set monitor temperature difference control plus 2.
Set monitor temperature difference.
Toggle monitor sounds control plus shift plus M.
You can toggle monitor sounds. That loop that we heard in the beginning, you can get rid of that.
Toggle temperature display unit control plus 1.
And we're going to get out of the menu. Now watch what happens.
Escape, menu bar, settings. Escape, leaving menu bar, areas list box, Buffalo, overcast.
When I press control 1 on Buffalo.
Control 1, Celsius, Buffalo, overcast, 6 degrees Celsius, Buffalo, overcast, 6 degrees Celsius, 1 of 2.
Now.
Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 20 degrees Celsius, 2 of 2.
So I'm going to go back up.
Buffalo.
And I'm going to do Control 1 on Buffalo.
Control 1, both Celsius first, Buffalo, overcast, 6 degrees Celsius, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, Buffalo, overcast, 6 degrees Celsius, 42 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 of 2. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 20 degrees Celsius, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 of 2.
So it doesn't matter which one that you're on. It changes that throughout the entire application, which is very cool. So I'm going to hit Control 1 again.
Control 1, both Fahrenheit first. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 20 degrees Celsius. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 20 degrees Celsius.
And
2 of 2.
One more time.
Control 1, Fahrenheit. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit. 2 of 2.
So you now, couldn't have actually changed it from the menu itself?
I could have, but I chose to show this way because if you remember the key and you want to do it quickly, you can. So just to prove a point, we're going to go to the settings menu.
Menu bar, city, settings. Settings menu, toggle temperature display unit control plus 1, enter, Celsius. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 20 degrees Celsius.
I see
leaving menus.
So you can do it. Now I'm going to quickly hit Control 1.
Control 1, both cell Control 1, both Fahrenheit, Control 1, Fahrenheit, Waymanalo.
There we go. Now, let's tab into the conditions for Hawaii here.
Weather for Waymanalo Beach, Hawaii, United States of America list box. Last updated, 20240315, 4 o'clock, 1 of 17.
Down arrow.
Overcast, 2 of 17. Temperature, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 of 17.
And if you notice, that says 68 degrees Fahrenheit, not any Celsius or any of that. So again, this Control 1 hotkey would change it should you wish to. Maybe you want to know what it is in Celsius here. You know, you could just toggle it on the fly. Now let's do Control 2. Let's see what that does.
Control 2, temperature difference. Please enter a value in which the temperature must change before you are notified about it in a monitor. Edit, 10.
So I could do 30 degrees, maybe a 30 degree drop or something, or 15 degrees.
Welcome to Buffalo in spring.
Right, exactly. You could change it here. I'm just going to press enter here.
Enter, weather monitor 0.35, build 21, weather for Waymanalo Beach.
So now we're going to check out some of the other menus.
Menu bar, application.
So there's our application menu. We're going to down arrow.
Application menu, hide window escape. Check for updates. Exit. Hide window.
So that's what you have.
Now, we were talking about hide window yesterday, you and I were, and hide is more of a minimize thing. So it's not
right.
Like an invisible window or anything like that, because that's what I asked him about.
Right. It puts it into the tray. So we're going to hit escape.
Escape. Menu bar. City.
We're going to down arrow in city.
City menu. Add city control plus N.
We can add a city.
Remove city. Delete.
Delete a city.
Search for city control plus S.
Search for city.
Toggle weather monitor control plus M.
So we can toggle weather monitors. So if we don't want weather monitoring for this option here for the Hawaii.
Enter weather monitor for Waymanalo Beach, Hawaii, United States of America on. Waymanalo Beach, overcast, Waymanalo Beach.
Or off or on. So let's see. Maybe that's what it is for the weather. I'm not sure. Frankly, I've only been playing with this for the last 24 hours and it is a public beta.
Menu.
So we're going to go back city. Into city.
City menu. Add city control.
I'm going to
enter.
Add a city.
Leaving menus. New city. Enter either a zip code or a city name to use with the program. Edit.
Okay, I got a thought. Since we are so close, why don't we add Ontario? And that'll tell us whether we can add an international city.
I'm going to do Toronto.
T-O-R-O-N-T-O.
Press enter.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.35, build 21, weather for Waymanalo Beach, Hawaii, United States of America list box, temperature, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 1 of 17, last updated, 20240315, 4 o'clock, 1 of 17.
Let's see what it did.
Weather monitor 0.35, build 21, areas list box, Waymanalo Beach, overcast, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 of 3, Toronto, partly cloudy, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 of 3.
There it is.
Well, is there only one Toronto, though?
Toronto, partly cloudy, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, 3 of 3.
Well, I guess we don't know. We assume it is. I don't think there's a Toronto in the U.S. I've never heard of it. But it does. Let's see. If I tab once.
Weather for Toronto, Ontario, Canada list box.
That answers that question.
You always have to assume there's a Toronto somewhere or a something somewhere. Like there are different Clevelands and different Richmonds and, you know, all these
things. Even different Buffaloes.
There are different Buffaloes, yes. We discovered that recently.
And we just discovered that you are correct, or it does do Toronto.
Partly cloudy.
Let's try. So I'm going to search for a city.
Okay.
I don't know what the difference between new city and search for city is.
Control new S. City search. Might not add it.
It did add it.
No, so I mean, search might not add it. Might and search might not. I don't know.
Let's try London.
Ah, that's a good one.
London.
So I just typed it in and I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.35, build 21. Weather for Toronto, Ontario, Canada list box. Partly cloudy, 2 of 17. Results.
That's where
results
we were last.
List box. London, City of London, Greater London, United Kingdom, one of two.
Oh, that's there's another one.
Probably a better way to do
it. London, that. Ontario, Canada, two of two.
Look at that.
There's the other London.
Now we're going to try an experiment. So I'm going to add
London, City London of here. Enter, weather monitor 0.35, build 21.
And then I'm going to go back to areas box. Which is Shift Tab. I'm going to go to Toronto.
Toronto, partly cloudy.
And I'm going to delete it.
Remove city dialog. Are you sure you wish to remove Toronto, Ontario, Canada? Yes button. Enter. Weather monitor 0.
Now I'm going to do Control S for search.
Control S. Search. Enter a query to search for edit. T-O-R-O-N-T-O.
And I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.35. Build 21. Areas list box. Buffalo. Overcast. 42 degrees Fahrenheit. 1 of 3. Results. Results list box. Toronto, Ontario, Canada. 1 of 1.
So Toronto, Ontario brings you into a list. So if you search, even if there's one result, it brings you into a list that you have to confirm.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.3.
Now, go back to New City.
Control N. New City. Enter either a zip code or a city name to use with the probe. L-O-N-D-O-N.
I'm going to press enter.
Enter. Weather monitor 0.35. Build 21. Areas list box. Toronto. Partly cloudy. 45 degrees Fahrenheit. 4 of 4. Alert dialog. You already have added this city to weather monitor. OK button.
Oh, whoops. Let's delete it.
Enter. Weather monitor 0. Toronto. Partly cloudy. London, moderate rain. Remove city dialog. Are you sure you wish to remove London? City of London, Greater London, United Kingdom. Yes button. Enter. Weather monitor 0.
So we're going to do New City.
Control N. New City. L-O-N-D-O-N. Enter. Weather monitor 0.35. Build 21. Areas list box. Buffalo. Overcast. 42 degrees Fahrenheit. 1 of 4. Waymanalo Beach. Toronto. London. Light rain.
So here's what it does. I assume. When you do a new city and you do London, it picks the first one. Or if you do a city name, it picks the first one and says, okay, that one's added. If you search, it's going to present you with a list, even if there's only one city in there. So if you're not 100% sure, search, because it seemed to pick the first one. So that's kind of what I think about that. That's cool, though. Still cool. It gives you options. So we're going to
menu bar.
Going to the menu.
City. Settings. City menu. Remove city. Delete. Search for city. Control plus S. Toggle weather monitor. Control plus M. Toggle weather alerts. Control plus G.
Oh, there's weather alerts and weather monitors. Okay.
View forecast. Enter.
So weather alerts would be the alerts, I think, that I got from Hawaii. If
escape,
I go menu here.
Bar. Escape. Leaving menu bar.
That
London,
was
moderate rain, 59 degrees Fahrenheit. London, moderate rain, 59 degrees Fahrenheit, 4 of 4.
Okay, I think I silenced that weather alert, unfortunately.
Toronto, Waymanalo Beach.
So we're going to go, and it said Control G to turn on and off the alerts, correct? So if I go here.
Control G, alerts for Waymanalo Beach, Hawaii, United States of America, off.
Now I shouldn't get those anymore. Maybe I want them on for Buffalo.
Buffalo, overcast.
I'm going to go up to Buffalo.
Control G, alerts for Buffalo, New York, United States of America, off.
So I want those on because I live here.
Control G, alerts for Buffalo, New York, United States of America, on.
So let's go back to the city menu.
Menu, city.
And then I'm going to go down.
City, remove, search for city, toggle weather monitor, control, toggle weather alerts, control plus G. View forecast, enter. Copy focused item to clipboard, control plus shift plus C. Add city, control plus N.
And that's what it is. So, let's escape.
Escape. Menu box. Settings.
And there's settings. We are in settings.
System.
And there's system.
Application.
And then there's back to the application.
The other thing you've got in your conditions. Let's go back to Buffalo real quick and show them one more cool thing in conditions that I think is neat.
Leaving menu bar. Weather monitor 0.3. Waymanalo. Buffalo. Weather for Buffalo. New York. United States of America. List box. Last updated.
Because we just changed into daylight saving time, you could hit S.
S. Sulfur dioxide SO2. 1.00 good. 15
wow.
of 17.
I wasn't expecting that one.
No, you weren't.
S.
Huh. I was sure it would give me sunrise and sunset.
It's
end. PM 10. 6.20 good. 17 of 17. PM 2.5.
I think you want forecast.
Really? Okay.
So we're going to press enter.
Forecast. Forecast. Forecast list box. Today. One.
I know I've seen it.
S. Sunrise. 7:27 a.m. 11 of 218.
There it is.
And then we'll do 12.
Sunset. 7:23 p.m. 12 of 218. Moonrise. 10:11 a.m. 13 of 218. Moon phase. Waxing crescent. 14 of 218. Moonset. 1:12 a.m. 15 of 218. Dot, dot, dot. 16 of 218.
There's your divider for the days. That's how you can hit period.
And if you wanted to, You can use home and end to get you around quickly home, too, or page, today, page down, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Page down, visibility, 6 yep. miles, 9.7 kilometers, 39 of 218.
Mm-hmm. So if I go to the end.
End, moonset, 8:19 a.m., 218 of 200.
If I go up some.
Moon, sunrise, UV, humidity, precipitate, visibility, winds, chance of average of high of patchy rain, Thursday, March 28th, 204
so of 218. So we're going through Thursday the 28th.
So it's a 7-day forecast.
Pretty cool. Actually, very no, it's cool. not. It's a 2-week forecast because we're
oh, you're right.
recording this on the 15th.
Day, March 28th.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Of course, it's told them all throughout the thing. Now, one more thing I want to show. So if I go to my system tray with Windows B.
Windows B, system tray Buffalo, overcast, 43 degrees Fahrenheit weather monitor button.
So you can always look at your city or cities or something in the system tray. And I think it changes with the focused item. Let me see.
Weather monitor 0.3. Patchy rain nearby, 205.
Let's close out of the forecast.
Read only, copy for, close button, enter. Copy forecast, but, close button, space, weather monitor 0.
Hit space on the buttons, don't hit enter on them.
PM 2.5.
So now I'm going to go back to the areas with shift tab.
Areas and you list can box. Use first letter nav in the areas list, can't you?
T, Toronto, yes. partly yep. cloudy. We Manilow Beach, over Toronto.
Oh, we'll just leave it on Toronto.
All right.
Give tribute to our Canadian friends.
Yeah, Windows we got B, lots of Canadian friends.
Tray, Toronto, partly cloudy, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, weather monitor.
And there it is. Your current system condition
yep.
is in the system tray. Very
except
cool.
it tells us in Fahrenheit instead of y'all in Celsius.
Well, you just 40. Go like here.
Weather monitor 0.35, build control 1, Celsius, Toronto,
there we go.
Partly cloudy.
There, you happy?
Let's have it read like a Canadian would read it. There we go.
Our title notepad, edit.
Let's see. Let's go to the system tray
Windows
here.
Windows B, system tray Toronto, partly cloudy, 7 degrees Celsius weather monitor button.
Much better.
Very cool. Now, because
Star
I'm the way
notepad.
I am,
Star
go back
weather
to
monitor
the weather
0.35.
Monitor. We do
control
one, two,
control
three.
Control 1, Fahrenheit, Toronto, partly cloudy.
There we go. So this is really a tour of what's currently available in this weather monitor application. I think it's very cool.
So if anybody wants to get this little jewel currently, how do you suggest they go about it?
We're going to take the link from Brian's post that I downloaded, and we're going to put it in the show notes.
Excellent.
So you
so...
get it directly from the source.
Yes.
So
yeah, please
there we
don't go.
Go
looking for it on Google. We don't know what you'll find. So if you want it, come get our link, mysticaccesspodcast.com. You'll find the show notes on the homepage. You can get there, click to get to this episode's show notes, and we'll have a link for you in there.
Absolutely. I don't want to host it because I don't want to be behind or anything like that. So we're going to get it directly from the source.
Yep. Fair enough.
So that's our episode for this week, and we will talk more about the rest of this Google saga, if you will, in the next episode.
Yes, absolutely. We hope you found something interesting here, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
The preceding podcast is a presentation of Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. If you are blind or visually impaired and wish to experience less stress and more fun on your unique assistive technology journey, our comprehensive audio documentation and additional offerings are here to support you. We welcome your visit at mysticaccess.com. That's mysticaccess.com. Have a question or wish to place an order via phone? Call us at 716-543-3323. If you have comments to share about this episode, follow our phone menu prompts to reach our Mystic Access podcast comment line. Email us at info@mysticaccess.com and connect with us on social media, Mastodon, mysticaccess.online, and facebook.com/mysticaccessempower. Would you like to spread the word about our podcasts? Anyone may explore our extensive archives and subscribe to receive our bi-weekly episodes at mysticaccesspodcast.com. If you enjoy our content, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for spreading the word and for being a listener. We hope you enjoyed this episode.